The views expressed on the following program are not necessarily the views of WIBA, its management, sponsors, or staff. Previously on Outside the Box.
What I find disturbing is this rush to blame. The blame game that's going on, it happened after Oklahoma City. We don't even know the political views at this point of this person, other than he's a nutcase. And clearly, since he shoots a Democrat, the assumption is that he's fueled by the right wing and the right wing talkers. The anger should be at the shooter. This person is an unhinged, deranged personality who goes in and starts shooting and killing people in a public place. And, you know, we can't blame other people other than him. That would be Jared Lee Lochner for this.
Welcome to Outside the Box with Mitch Hank. To be a part of the program, call 321-1310 or toll free at 877-235-1310 or email Mitch at WIBA.com. Now here's your host, Mitch Hank, on News Talk 1310 WIBA and WIBA.com.
We're continuing our discussion on the shooting in Arizona and the aftermath and the blame game that's going on and the level of discourse that's being said to contribute to it. First, a reminder, though, we've got the Bid on Madison online auction, January 12 and 13. That's this week. Online auction, incredible deals, which is perfect in times of recession. You can have your dollar go farther. All you have to do is go to bidonmadison.com or WIBA.com and see the Bid on Madison link, and you'll get all kinds of deals, all-terrain vehicles, mattresses, bicycles, home cinema projectors, screen, Kohler corner bath with air jets, I mean, carpet cleaning, power tools, all kinds of stuff, spa and salon packages, everything under the sun. Just go to the site and just peruse and shop. Go to bidonmadison.com. We'll have an online auction coming up on the 12th and 13th of this week. It is an amazing opportunity, and we hope you take advantage of it. Getting back to the topic. Now, here's what's going on with civility. It's said this morning in a lot of the media talkers, there's a lack of civility now. And I don't know how much civility there was in the 1800s when they were accusing people of having illegitimate children in the Grover-Cleveland race. Or you had a duel between Alexander Hamilton and Aaron Burr, where Aaron Burr actually killed Alexander Hamilton. I'm not sure how much more civil it was in those days. I mean, after Abraham Lincoln's speech at Gettysburg, his critics called him a savage for the quality of his speech. I mean, there was some nasty stuff in newspapers back in those days. And you had these anonymous newspapers, which were essentially blogs of the day. I mean, if we're talking about civility, we go back to the whole communist scare hit. And yes, there were communists, and yes, there were traitors, but not everybody was a commie. And actually, you should be free to be a commie. If you're not selling secrets, you know, classified secrets and acting in treason, you should be free to be a commie or free to be a socialist or free to be anything you want in this country. I mean, during the House Un-American Activities Committee hearings in the late 40s, playwright Arthur Miller was asked about somebody saying something controversial and whether that indicated he was a communist. And Arthur Miller looked at the congressman and said, I think he should be able to say or write anything he wants. And, you know, that's the point. We are free to be communists here. We're free to be anything we want. But for a long time, people were afraid that because they might have given some canned goods to the Russians, that they'd be accused of being a commie. Everybody was afraid of being a commie. McCarthy scared everybody. And the Cincinnati Reds changed their name to Red Legs because they didn't want to be called the Reds anymore. Okay, so it's the politics of personal destruction and smearing that went well beyond identifying the Rosenbergs or Alger Hiss or any real commies who were real traitors. It went to innocent commies. That was the problem with McCarthy. Innocent commies were smeared because they weren't traitors. They were just commies. Now, what happened was the politics of name-calling worked. And then the Democrats learned from that because you had James Carville. Remember Ken Starr? Ken Starr is a bag man for big tobacco. He's a wacko. Ken Starr is a wacko. He's a wacko. So in other words, if you smear the opponent and you define the opponent as a wacko or as corrupt or as a loon, then you never really hear what the opponent has to say in terms of public policy. There is no discourse on what the other person actually believes. There's no debate about the policies. And what we do need in this country is we want to disagree vehemently, and we want people to fight like cats and dogs and fight like hell for their principles. That is what we want. But we want to do it in a civil way. Barry Goldwater and Hubert Humphrey used to play cards every night. They fought like hell all day on the floor. They disagreed completely with each other philosophically, but they were friends after 6 o'clock. We need to get back to that. I have great friends who disagree with me completely philosophically. I like them. They're beautiful people. They're just wrong, in my view. But they think that about me. So what we don't want is to hate people or to smear them and, you know, because of their tendency to disagree with us. And the reason talk radio has been a successful vehicle is because you can hear yourselves think through the host. And you want your beliefs and your values reinforced by the host's mouth. That's what happens with talk radio. And when somebody comes on who doesn't agree with you, then you don't like that person because it threatens you, because he questions your values and your beliefs. You feel comfortable when you listen to the host who agrees with you because it makes you feel better. That's what it is. That's what talk radio is. Now, what we have to have is an ability. And people come up to me on the street all the time and they go, Mitch, I don't always agree with you, but they have to cleanse themselves. What am I, a priest? It's like confession. I go, well, I hope you don't agree with me every time. What are you, a robot? I don't want to tell you, you're not going to drink the Kool-Aid. This isn't Jonestown. I'm not Jim Jones here. You're an adult. You should be able to think for yourself. I'm not offended if you disagree with me. I'm not. I can handle it. I'm a big boy. It's almost like they have to admit it because somehow they think it's bad to disagree. When they talk to their parents, don't disagree. No. And so that's what happens with this discourse argument that we're having. Now, the question is, should you call somebody names in politics or should you simply say they're wrong about something? You know, if you're going to call Obama a socialist, what you should say is Obama is wrong and explain why. If you think that health care is wrongheaded because it's going to give too much power to a bureaucracy and too much power to the government and that they're going to be, by definition, inefficient, and that if you have these boards, these centralized government boards, headed by Dr. Donald Berwick, who has to answer to Kathleen Sebelius, Secretary of Health and Human Services, who are going to tell insurance companies what they must cover or must carry in terms of policies to cover every ailment under the sun, which is going to cause those premiums to go up, because to administer those treatments of those ailments, it's going to make the healthcare bill go up, which means the insurance bill will go up. And then to say that if you blame those rising premiums on Obamacare, we're going to have hearings. Okay, you've got problems. But call it out for what it is. Calling people names isn't necessarily necessary. Just say they're wrong. All you have to do is say, he's wrong, and here's why. Or say, my friend from whatever state is wrong-headed on this. My friend is completely wrong. We have philosophical disagreements, and here's why. That's all we have to say. Now, what happened in the case of the congressman from Arizona, after she voted for health care reform, her office was vandalized. She was one of three Democratic House members who had reported cases of vandalism in their offices. Now, this deranged shooter didn't like the congresswoman because of her positions. But I don't think that's any reason to shoot her, is it? Of course it's not. It's obscene. If this person wanted this congresswoman defeated, you know, she's up for election every 2 years. The founders were pretty smart about that, you know. She could have been taken out politically and sent into another line of work. And so what we need, yes, is we need civil discourse, and we need fiery debate. We need robust debate from people who are the furthest apart they could possibly be on the political spectrum, which is what James Madison wrote in the Federalist Papers. They wanted robust debate. We want a country where socialists and constitutionalists and John Birchers can all argue in a civil manner. That's America to me. We'll come back. This is Outside the Box.
Now, back to Outside the Box. All guests on Outside the Box appear courtesy of the Charter phone line, part of the Charter bundle package. Once again, here's Mitch Henk on News Talk 1310 WIBA and WIBA.com.
All right, time to turn the page now. Well, I'm no doubt be revisiting this issue as the week unfolds, but we bring in Don Severson. We want to talk about Four-year-old kindergarten, and so a piece sent to me from Paper and Sun Prairie talking about four-year-old kindergarten going 2.5 hours a day. I've heard from other parents on this issue, and I know Senator Grothman made headlines by saying Madison shouldn't have it because he's a senator from West Bend, and why is he telling Madison they shouldn't have it when, what is it, 2/3 of the school districts have it now, Don?
About 80%.
80%, so it's more than that. And, you know, it's not just about Madison, you know, and it's somebody from West Bend telling Madison what to do, which is the unfortunate characterization here. I think there was the superintendent NIRAD who said, I wonder what the senator has against, what is it, four-year-old kindergarten?
What did four-year-olds do to him?
What did four-year-olds do to him? Which, again, personalizes the debate, doesn't it?
Unfortunately.
And you are a watchdog from your non-for-profit group that kind of watches school spending in the Madison School District. And your position is against four-year-old kindergarten. And why, Don?
Well, the primary reasons are that there isn't any real clear research, because you can go find research on any side of this issue you want that indicates what it'll make some difference early on, but does it carry forward? That's a question to debate. But the primary reasons why we think the school district shouldn't be in this particular type of program is that there are private providers in the community who can do the job. There's 90-some providers within the boundaries of the Madison School District who can and have provided these kinds of services for four-year-olds. The other part of it is that the cost. By having the school district involved and thereby the teachers union, not only gives control to the school board and to the district to run these programs at the expense of the private providers, you might say, as well as driving up the cost to the consumer.
Okay, now what's going to happen with that debate, and I'm sure you've heard it, because you live in the Madison area, Don.
In spades.
And that is, only rich people can have preschool because they can afford the private providers, number one. Yeah. And they'll point to other countries where they start educating children at 4 or 3 or wherever they might do it in Holland, where they do better, and that the earlier you can get the child indoctrinated into some sort of education, it's going to be better for that child long term. And that will no doubt be the argument against what you're saying. And to that, you say what?
Well, indoctrination, I would suggest is
perhaps the wrong word.
Well, but
in some cases,
but there are people who argue that's a problem.
Well, there ought to be reading and writing going on here, counting, yes.
Reading and writing.
Being able to sort the blocks or whatever else happens.
Developing relationships and motor skills.
So the point is, the earlier that happens, the better is going to be the counter-argument.
Well,
and also the fact that poor people can't afford the private providers.
Well, and then there's also the argument that the parents aren't providing it.
The what?
That the parents are not providing it either.
That's because parents are working. Well, first of all, as a parent who had to shell out big money for daycare when my children were 4, I think it was like $900 a month at the time. Mm-hmm. This would have been, 12, 13 years ago. That's a lot of money. So, I mean, for one thing, if I'd been a parent and knew that I didn't have to spend $900 a month, I'd be thrilled. But not with 2.5 hour 4-year-old kindergarten. That's not enough. It doesn't really help that parent on the daycare cost.
Well, that raises the question too. What is enough? What's included in it? And then you have the wraparound services of childcare.
Because that would have been a nightmare. You'd have to coordinate the driving and the picking up.
Exactly.
And okay, they're going to go to kindergarten for 2.5 hours. Then I got to take them to somebody's house, and then they'll charge by the morning or the afternoon. You know, whatever the case may be.
That's right. And transportation and everything else.
And so I guess the question we're asking is, and somebody can call us out there, because if we have 80% of the school districts having 4-year-old kindergarten, then there are no doubt parents listening to this who have observed the quality. And that's what we should be debating, right? I mean, not just the cost, but the quality and whether it's worth the money.
What difference does it make?
Correct.
And what are the benefits, including cost benefits?
Let me put the phone number out there, 321-1310 outside the Madison area, 877-235-1310. And what we get is, from people who are advocating, and I don't know the way we go to the knee-jerk arguments is often the case on radio, the people who are advocating it say, why don't we just start teaching them at age 6 then, or 7? Can't afford to do it at 4. Why don't we start when they're 8? Now, the people that are against 4 year can always say, well, then why don't we start them at 2? You know,
that's exactly right.
It's like we're in the sandbox, Don. You know, we're doing these little sandbox arguments.
Right, no rules.
Now, we've... I don't know when you... Lord of the Flies. I'm not sure when you went. I went at 5.
I didn't go to kindergarten.
You didn't go to kindergarten? Well, that explains a lot. No, I'm kidding. See, there's the comedian. You just started in first grade.
That's right.
At age, what, 5? 6? 6? Okay, 6. So were you working on the farm before that, or
no? We just didn't have kindergarten.
Didn't have kindergarten.
Well, and part of that reason was the schoolhouse burned down the summer.
The schoolhouse burned down. Yeah. Well, now we know who the suspects are.
But I was also I'll tell a little story. I was also a child whose mother wrote a note to the teacher and pinned it on my shirt. And the note said, "Dear Miss LeClaire," that was the teacher, "the opinions of this child are not necessarily those of his parents."
Yeah, they were probably out there with the Rosenbergs or something.
So now, I started early.
I guess you did. But you somehow caught up is the point. You missed 4-year-old and 5-year-old kindergarten, and here you are, Don. You know, successful citizen.
I'd like to.
Okay, so you come with
I'd
a
like
person.
To think so.
All right, there you go. Terry, hi. This is News Talk 1310 WIBA. Good morning, Terry.
Yeah, good morning, and good morning, Don. How are you?
Good morning, Terry. I'm fine, thank you.
Good. I kind of agree and disagree with you at the same time.
Good.
And here's where I go with
it. It's okay.
Well, I know this sounds, first of all, financially, I understand we've got to stop spending. We can't continue to spend. I mean, I'm behind that one 1,000%. And maybe you have to look at Madison differently than you do the surrounding areas. And I've mentioned this to Mitch many times. You take a look at the north side where we have 15 kids that live on the north side that now go to school in Wanakee, that their grades all got better than they were in Madison. So which tells me is that when the kids are 2 and 3, if they're still home on the floor playing with their toys and doing things, or if the parents are working with them or not. So what I'm trying to break down is in that 2.5 hours, would that make a student a little better student when they enter fifth grade? I know some fact come out that by the time they're 10, it all equals out, which I don't know if I buy that one or not. But let's face it, there are students that go to the Madison Public Schools who have moved on, Don, that are now, the grades are twice as better as they were when they were in the Madison Public School.
Okay, we'll have Don answer that. We'll take more calls. And also with 4-year-old kindergarten, whether it's really worth the money. We'll come back. News Talk 1310 WIBA. All right. A lot of people are asking me questions about the Plan Z by Zola diet, planzdiet.com, where I've lost more than 80 pounds, and you can too. It's changed my life. I feel better. And I tell you something, folks, the variety of foods, whether you like, Sloppy Joe's, or you like chicken with a breading that feels like a full-breaded chicken dinner, you can do that kind of stuff just with these thin grissini breadsticks, crumpled and coating the chicken breast with delicious side dishes. There's a tremendous dish with Italian seasoning and garlic with tomatoes, along with, with asparagus or green beans or pea pods or any number of things, onions, grilled, apples. You can have a whole fruit, an apple, with your meal, with a little maybe cinnamon on it or pumpkin powder. All these things you can do, and the average person is losing 28 pounds in 37 days. Find out today. Go to the website, please, and it'll change your life. PlanZDiet.com. That's PlanZDiet.com.
If you see news happening, call the WIBA News Tip Hotline at 271-NEWS. News Talk 1310 WIBA and WIBA.com.
Yeah, we're getting to the whole issue of 4-year-old kindergarten here, and we're talking to Don Severson, school board watchdog in Madison. And this could apply to your school district, no matter where you are, or your own concept of 4-year-old kindergarten. We have the one side where actually 80% of the school districts in the state have embraced 4-year-old kindergarten. I have all kinds of parents and different viewpoints. How long is it? 2.5 hours. It's not like they're there for 7 hours or even half the day. I remember when we were in kindergarten at age 5, we were in the morning or afternoon in those days. And I remember the daycare challenge was, where are you going to be in the morning or afternoon for Because my mother, both parents worked. She was a teacher. I remember going to Mrs. Walsh's. I went in the afternoon, so I would always hang out at Mrs. Walsh's house. It was a good cook. I remember eating a lot of goulash. And we'd watch the game shows. I remember watching Concentration. I'm not sure what that did for me. But somehow evolved and went at age 5. Don, my guest, went at age 6. And you're doing okay. You can count to 10 and construct a complete sentence. Eager learner. You caught up fast. But the question is it worth the money when we don't have any money? And the controversy spurred by State Senator Grothman wanting Madison, or not saying Madison should have it, even though 80% of the districts do have it. So Superintendent Neerad said, you know, something flippant to the senator. What was it again, Don?
Well, he wondered what four-year-olds did to him.
What did four-year-olds do to him? Number to call, we're trying to get to the point of whether it's worth the money or not, really, is the issue.
Could we get back to Terry for a moment?
Well, let's get back to Terry. Yeah. Sorry about that.
I'd like to talk a little bit about what Terry brought up.
The caller before the break.
The value that would come from these kinds of experiences can be good. There can be and would be benefits. My position is that this has been taking place across the community, across Madison, by private providers. There's private schools like Montessori. There's church schools. Faith schools.
But nobody's arguing the effectiveness. The issue there is the affordability, Don.
Well, and this was being done at an affordable level by these providers. And our position is that's where it ought to continue. Sure, I think there'd have to be some help along the way for those low-income families who can't maybe afford. Mm-hmm. But it would be affordable at a lower cost the way we're doing it. Than it would be getting the school district involved.
And you have Head Start, which is a federal program, but there's a lot of debate about its effectiveness as well.
And another argument that we're making is our school district in Madison is not getting the job done with the students they have.
The five-year-old kindergarten.
And then on up through grade 12. We've got the achievement gap. We've got all kinds of problems in reading and math and so on. We're not even doing the job that we're supposed to do with the kids that we have. What makes us think that we can do the job with more kids at a younger age?
But isn't it a program where districts want to do it because they can use funding from beyond? They're doing it state or federal funding, right?
Yeah, but that's everybody's tax money too. Excuse me.
Oh, I know, but they have this incentive to do it or they don't get the money.
But it still comes from local property taxes. I mean, local property taxes has to – mm-hmm. Be the base for it, and sure, state aid will increase.
Right.
But
let's go to the phones here. We're trying to get to the effectiveness, whether it's worth the money. Paul, hi. This is News Talk 13, 10 WIBA. Good morning, Paul.
How you doing, Mitch?
Fine, Paul. How are you?
Well, I think, they're now, 2.5 hours, you said?
It varies school district to school district.
Right.
That was the
article. Whatever. Eventually, it's going to be a full day. You know, let's face it, the only reason that they're doing this from the school's point of view is so that they can get more teachers hired, so the union can get a bigger base. And of course, like you said, the parents. I mean, I'd be in hog heaven too if somebody told me I didn't have to pay for daycare.
Well, for the whole
day. And let Doblo next door neighbor pay for it. I mean, isn't this enough?
Wow.
Now we got to give people breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We got to put now it's going to be down to 3 years old. I mean, take care of your own kids. I didn't have your kids. I don't want to take care of them.
Well, Paul, maybe that would be best if you didn't. But thanks for the call. 321-1310 outside the Madison area. 877-235-1310. There was a debate for years about full-day kindergarten. And because, as I said, when I was there, it was half-day. You didn't have it.
Right.
And,
But that's not a reason to say nobody else should have it.
Right. So, I mean, how long
that.
We had full day and how many districts have full day? Do we know in Wisconsin?
Yeah. I do not know. We could find it out.
But Madison, in terms of kindergarten, when did that change over the years in terms of the number of hours?
I'm not sure, Mitch.
Well, but I can tell you right now, I mean, again, as a parent, you're going through that whole daycare thing where you have to spend the money and you have to deal with the rides and picking up. I mean, for you, it's a huge relief and a huge savings, out-of-pocket savings, if you could have your child there all day long. I remember it was great when my son was 12 and I could take him to the golf course. He'd be there for 4 hours. It was a good place for him to be. There were people watching after him. I mean, you know, it's just, people know with small children, the whole taxing nature of daycare and where they are and when they have to be picked up is very real. Mm-hmm. So I think, yeah, is it a daycare? Well, yeah, if you're a parent shelling out, you'd rather have the taxpayers pay for it because you don't have to bear the whole cost. That's really the attitude of the parent.
A number of parents are obviously that way, yeah.
And so they don't care how effective it is because if it isn't that, they would be somewhere else in a private facility. And if you've got a lot of money, yeah, you can put them in preschool and have these wonderful people in there. But most parents are taking whatever they can get.
That's right.
You know, which is daycare. Let's go to the phones. Gail, News Talk 1310 WIBA. Good morning, Gail.
Hello.
Hi.
I'd like to talk about it. My children are older. My children went to parochial school and then went into Monona Grove and La Follette. And I think that the school should be paying for this. It would actually be harder as a working mother to figure out the semantics of it, much less I think it's my responsibility until the child is five, and that I am not impressed with Madison School District. Actually, my son went there 4 years, and if I had my choice, I would not have sent him there.
Well, and again, there are people in Madison that do very well. You know, we often hear these stories about police cars outside of Memorial, but the kids inside don't even know that's going on. They're honor students at Memorial. They're honor students at West and East, but you have bigger problems. Gail, at the beginning you said you think schools shouldn't be paying, because I was a little confused.
They should not.
I
don't think they should have the four-year-old daycare. Yeah. And, I mean, it has a lot to do with more of my personal opinion of Madison School District and the run-in I've had with them, that they are not doing a good job.
And what is your principal complaint with the Madison schools, Gail?
Well, it's this, that my son had some special needs. It wasn't recognized. We tried to get help for him as a freshman before he got in. And until it was showed that he had problems, then he got in a special program, and that was for 1 year. And then, lo and behold, they eliminated that. And it was a struggle, and there were some teachers that we actually went all the way up to the superintendent complaining about the way they dealt with him. And then I also had a run-in with them when my son was in hockey. And the way I was asking for budgets and things like that, I've been a county board supervisor. I know what big budgets should look like and what I should be able to ask for and get. And I couldn't get numbers from them, and that did not show me that they had accountability at all.
Well, Gail, I appreciate the call, and I sympathize. How's your son doing now?
He's doing great. He's graduated and got a couple jobs, and he's happy, and that's great, but, I mean, he's not a college student. Let's put it that way. Mm. And we really had to work with tutors and ourselves to get him through because he has ADHD.
Yeah.
And he did not get the help he needed.
Uh-huh. Well, so did he go to a different school district then, Yale? Or?
I would have gone to a different school district because my ex-husband lives in Monona. Uh-huh. I lived in Madison, and that last year dealing with them was very poor, but because he was a senior, I wasn't going to pull him out at that point. I would have sent him to Monona Grove at that point because we had the choice of doing that.
All right. Well, Gail, we appreciate the call and the experience there. She wasn't real happy with the situation with her son.
Right.
But he was a secondary level. You know, when we're talking today about four-year-old kindergarten and just the general feeling of a parent with special needs, Don, because that could happen at in the kindergarten level, or could happen as a senior.
That's right.
What would you say about her experience and what parents of special needs students should be worried about?
Well, should be worried about getting a response. And that, I think that goes to my point of, you know, we're not really getting the job done with the students that we have responsibility for. Why are we thinking about adding more and increasing the costs and all of that?
One of the rising costs, one of the costs that's grown is the area of special education.
Correct.
Because the definition of that is broader than it once was, Don. And the modern definition includes ADHD, which is attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, which is Latin for no focus, no attention span. I once asked my doctor what they do 30 years ago when kids were not paying attention. Well, they hit them upside the head. I don't know if they did that or not in your school, but so now parents have gone to prescription drugs in many cases, and teachers love that because in some cases because the kid is more in line,
right?
Even though they're more lethargic, it's another problem.
Right.
Well, let's go, Bill. Hi, this is News Talk 1310 WIB. Good morning, Bill.
Yeah. Well, you know, my parents were 21 and 18, and they put me in school at the university at age 3. And I graduated from medical school at 21, and I've served the community for 63 years. And I would just tell you that that school at the university was a demonstration school down on University Avenue there. Mm-hmm. And all of us exceeded number one. They tested my IQ. It was only 116, so it's not because I'm brilliant. But they taught me that life was a matter of order and to learn at an early age, and they didn't have to pick up after I slopped around for 5 years. And I would say there's no point in losing that time. The rest of the world is educating their children at 3 and 4. And that's why China and the rest of them are ahead of us. And yes, that man with all the money has to pay for those of us that don't have it. This is a free school I went to. It was at the University Experimental School.
And you really liked the experience. I mean, you graduated from medical school.
Well, I don't know whether I liked it or not. I don't remember.
You think you benefited from it?
I was crying about it, not wanting to go and so forth. But I had to remember my telephone number in order to get into class.
Well, I hope you remembered it. I want to ask you about to give it on the air, but no. Thanks, Bill. I'm going to come back. You know, the argument, Don. The Chinese are ahead of us. The Europeans are ahead of us because they start earlier. We'll come back. This is News Talk 13. Oh, but there's a moment of silence at 10 o'clock. We'll be joining the president, and we'll be keeping you abreast of that on the Arizona shooting. We'll come back with more calls. This is News Talk 1310 WIBA.
Can you say no? Dave Ramsey can. Act your wage. Dave Ramsey, weeknights at 10 on 1310 WIBA.
All right, we're talking about four-year-old kindergarten here. We just heard from our previous caller, Bill, who was educated at age 3, certainly taught him how to speak loudly. Don Severson is here, who is against it, thinking, well, is your primary reason it's just too much money? We don't have the money right now, Don?
Well, yes, and that there is a different way of delivering this through the community where the school doesn't have to have the responsibility for it. I mean,
you're private providers, but I mean, you know, you obviously can take that to the extreme as well and say that we should have all private schools.
But one of the quality benefits of the private providers is that in this community in Madison, we have a model certification program through the city. It's very, very well done.
So unnecessary here would be an argument you're making.
That's
because we're more equipped to handle it.
Correct.
With private providers and at a lower cost to taxpayers because they're not involved and they may even have longer time served, even though, again, you're going to have people that won't afford that. They won't. I'm not sure what people do, though, with their children if they don't have any money for a nice private provider. What do they do now? They just don't work, stay home? I mean, because who's watching the kid?
Probably family members or neighbors.
We'll take more calls on this whole question in a moment, but first a reminder about the online auction, Bid on Madison. It's going to be a great auction. Folks, go to that. Go to Bid on Madison. Go to the site now or after the show. January 12th and 13th, you'll have an online auction with all kinds of stuff, which is perfect for this time of year. All these, you talk about post-Christmas deals. Well, you get amazing deals on spa and salon packages, home cinema projector and screen, bicycles, mattresses, all-terrain vehicles, carpet cleaning, pet daycare packages, power tools, resort vacations. That's just a partial list, not to mention cars and everything else. Folks, go to bidonmadison.com or WIB.com and see the link for the online auction coming up January 12 and 13. Marcy, to you now on four-year-old kindergarten. Good morning, Marcy.
Good morning. I am a little bit against and a little bit for. I think that we're taking too much of the parents' responsibility away from them. I think they should be responsible for their own. And four-year-olds, many four-year-olds are not ready for school. My own were not ready for school at four. I held them back, and with October and September birthdays, I held them back because they were not ready. And even as a five-year-old,
So they weren't girls then? They weren't girls, Marcy?
Well, I had a boy and two girls.
Oh, okay.
And the boy was definitely not ready.
No.
No.
We understand that.
And I think it was to his benefit that we held him back. Mm-hmm. In the long run, he was better off. But I don't like the idea of that being my responsibility. I took care of my own, and I think people should take care of their own. There are so many daycares out there providing a very good service. And I just don't think that we need to have any more government or school programs for these four-year-olds. That's my opinion.
All right, Marcy, thank you for that. Interesting that she thought they weren't ready at four.
Right.
Let's go to Mary. This is News Talk 1310 WIBA. Good morning, Mary.
Hi, Mitch. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Well, I have a couple of points I'd like to make here. I am a retired school teacher. And I personally think, I mean, the bottom line is that I think many children, I agree with Marcy, are not really ready for four-year-old kindergarten. Now, I know many of these kids are going to daycare already, but I don't think it's the taxpayer's responsibility, just like she said. Now, I have a daughter and a son-in-law who are also teachers in another school district, and their school district is going to adopt this program. And they, my daughter and her son, have said that the reason that this school district is doing it is for money. So I kind of feel like they're exploiting the kids.
Well, she is right about that, by the way. Now, the question is why we keep hearing the Chinese are doing it and other countries are doing it. And a final word on that in the last 30 seconds. Thank you, Marcy. Don, is what? We're not like the Chinese, or that's not...
Well, there's more to it than that. And both Marcy and Mary have brought up the parent aspect of this, parent responsibility, parent involvement, regardless of what the delivery system is carrying this out.
Well, Don Severson, we thank you very much, as always.
Thank you.
A moment of silence for the Arizona victims coming up. This is News Talk 1310 WIBA.